Amen. So true, so true. Thank you, Carol. God bless you. That's wonderful. Amen. I want to talk to you about one greater than Solomon. That's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Why? Well, the Queen of the South came to find out what was going on with Solomon. The Queen of the South heard that God was doing something and came to find out what God was doing. The Queen of the South saw somebody with a testimony. Saw somebody that had a testimony that God was doing a work and that God was all-powerful. And Queen of the South came to find out what was going on. And so Jesus said she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But here's what he says. He says, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. There is one greater than Solomon, certainly. And that is the one Carol just sang about, our friend Jesus. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. And I pray that you will guide and direct us now into your word and help us to listen carefully. And especially we ask that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and convict us where conviction is needed. Help us, God, to be a good testimony in our community, among our family, among friends and people we work with. And help us to show Christ in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn, if you will, back to 1 Kings, and we will spend our time in 1 Kings. And I'm going to go back to chapter 8, and Solomon makes an interesting statement. He is praying and praising God, and he's been doing that in much of 1 Kings 8. And he's talking, and this really is what he believes as far as God is concerned. And he's telling God this, but it's very interesting. In verse 41, Solomon himself says this. He says, moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people, Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake. For they shall hear of thy great name and of thy strong hand and of thy stretched out arm. When he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house, which I have builded, is called by thy name. And Solomon believed it. Solomon knew God was going to do such a work that people would come from far away to find out what's really going on here. He knew that people were going to come. He knew that it was going to happen. He knew that God was going to work through him and in his life. It'd get people's attention. Let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that today about yourself? I mean, you're saved. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. He's in your heart. He lives in you. We're talking about God here. We're talking about having God's wisdom. It's available if we just ask. We're talking about having God's power. It's available if we want it. We're talking about all these different things that Solomon had, and Solomon believed that God would do something in him that would cause the whole world to notice. Do you believe that today in your own life? So I just can't influence my family. I just can't influence people at work. Listen, who is your God? Solomon believed it, and here in 1 Kings chapter 10, it happens, and it happened over and over again. But here especially, it is recorded in Scripture, the Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South, probably in Africa, an area, she heard of the fame of Solomon. But it was even better than that. It was even greater than that. She heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. And she came. And Jesus refers to this, and he says, there's one greater than Solomon. And the Queen of Sheba came to find out what was going on with Solomon. I wonder how far people would come to find out what's going on with you. I wonder if that guy would leave his workbench. He's watched you. And he's observed you. And would he leave his workbench during his break to come over and say, hey, pray for me. Would you pray for me? I'm going through a tough time. I wonder if that loved one would get on the phone and they know your life. They've watched you. They've seen God work in your life. Would that loved one get on the phone and call and say, hey, listen, I really need some help. Would you pray for me? Would you come and talk to me? Would you, you know, do we kind of sell God short? Solomon, he believed that this would happen. He knew this would happen because he knew how powerful his God was. And Jesus said, but there's a greater than Solomon. Queen of Sheba came to hear Solomon. Queen of Sheba came to find out about Solomon, came to find out, is God real or not? Boy, Solomon's testimony was so solid. But that's because he believed it. You know, the reason maybe our testimony might not be what it ought to be is we really don't believe it. And I want to challenge you today, as Jesus was challenging the people of that generation in Matthew 12, I want to challenge you today. Hey, would people come from anywhere to find out what's happening in your life? Or is your life pretty much like everybody else's life? And then, of course, if you're here today without Christ, I want to show you one greater than Solomon. I want to show you the friend that Carol sang about a little while ago. I want to show you one that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to show you one that you can count on. I want to show you one that will give you wisdom, that will give you power, that will give you blessings. I want to introduce you to one that will love you and love you and love you and care for you. His name is Jesus. Four things I want to show you today. Number one is what she heard. What she heard. It says that the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon. Now, by the way, this is a queen. Okay, she's a very, very wealthy person. She has plenty of things going on herself. And she heard of the fame of Solomon, but watch, concerning the name of the Lord. And I think that is absolutely so crucial. I'm so glad it says that. I mean, really, what would impress the Queen of Sheba? I mean, seriously, what would impress somebody who already had lots of wealth? What would impress someone who already had lots of fame? What would impress somebody who already had lots of power? I mean, it wasn't Solomon's wealth, although that got her attention. It wasn't Solomon's fame, but that got her attention. It wasn't just Solomon's power that he had, but certainly that got her attention. What was it? It was concerning the Lord. I mean, Solomon all along has given God the glory. Solomon is saying, hey, here's how this has happened to me. And she said, I got to see this. Hey, the Queen of Sheba, it would take a lot to impress her. And the one thing that could impress her is God did that? God did that? You'll notice in verse 23, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. She knew that. And she said, how did he do it? And somebody said, well, he says it's God did it. He says it's all God. He says to God be the glory. He says it's not his own wisdom. God gave him the wisdom. He said it's not his own wealth. God gave him the wealth. He said it's not his own power. God gave him the power. And she said, you know what? I've heard a lot of stories. I've seen a lot of kings. I've seen a lot of kingdoms. I've seen a lot of wisdom. But I've never heard of anybody who has all of those things who says God gave it to him. I got to find out about this thing. She heard of his fame. She heard of his fame. She heard, of course, of his the riches that he had and all of his wealth. It's very interesting when Jesus says a greater than Solomon is here. You know, we may be impressed with what Solomon did, but the Bible says in Ephesians 3 and verse 8 that we're to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's unsearchable. I mean, Solomon had a limit. He had a bank account and there was X amount of dollars. Now you'd like to have had that bank account, I'm sure. But he had a limit. You know what? God's riches, the riches in Jesus Christ, they're unsearchable. You can't even, you could scour all the banks. You could scour all the lands. You could look into every kind of financial statement about God and it's just unsearchable. He owns it all. He owns it all. And that's what Jesus is talking about. You know, he's talking about how yes, Solomon, oh, he was a wealthy man, but he wasn't that wealthy. Not compared to Jesus. You know, it's interesting how we're to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and we think about this as a testimony and how this got her attention. Satan is doing everything he can to silence the voice talking about Jesus. I mean, everything he can. You can be religious, just don't talk about Jesus. You can pray, just don't use Jesus' name. And everything today, Satan is, and he's doing a pretty good job of getting people to be quiet. Hey, do you talk about Jesus? Do you talk about the riches of Christ? Do you talk about how wonderful He is? Do you talk about the blessings that He gives? You know, that's why people need to hear about Jesus and the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's why we go soul winning. That's why we run buses. That's why we have vacation Bible school. That's why we have a fair ministry. That's why we give out gospel tracts. Why? Because Jesus is everything. And if the Queen of Sheba heard through some servants and through some people in the land, if she heard about the wealth of Solomon, it seems to me like people ought to hear about the wealth of Jesus. But you know, with Jesus, it's not just money, because the Bible says in Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. When's the last time you told somebody? When's the last time you said to somebody, you know why everything is good to me, and you know why I'm so excited and I'm joyful today? It's because I have salvation by grace through faith. I'm redeemed, the Bible says. His blood has covered and obliterated my sin, and I'm forgiven today. Amen. I'm forgiven. And when is the last time? You know, if people found out about that, they'd come look. I remember when I first got saved, some of my friends couldn't believe they heard about it. I remember the first time I preached, and I preached back at our home church after about a semester or two of college, and a bunch of people came, and I know why they came. They came, this can't be true. You know what? But the truth of the matter is, you know, the testimony was, I've been saved. My sins have been forgiven. They're gone. A greater than Solomon's here. There's one greater than Solomon. Queen of Sheba, she thought his wealth was something. I got news for you. The wealth of Jesus is far, 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 far greater. But she also heard about His wisdom. And the Bible says in verse 4, it says, when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, she saw His wisdom. Now, he talked to her. She heard His wisdom. She could hear what He was saying. But she looked around and she saw the whole operation. And boy, wisdom was all over it. I mean, the whole operation, everything that was going on in the kingdom, she saw His wisdom. The Bible says later on in verse 24, it says, all the earth sought to Solomon to hear His wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Hey, do people come to you because they know you're a Christian? Well, you know, I'll have to be honest, I haven't made very many wise decisions. You know how sad that is? Because you could make wise decisions. You know how sad that is that our testimony is not the same as Solomon's? It's the same God. I mean, He says all we have to do is ask for His wisdom. Would that guy at the lunch table in the cafeteria where you work, would he come to you and say, look, I'm having a problem now? I understand you've got a lot of wisdom. I understand you walk with God. I understand you pray. I see you sitting here every day and you have your Bible open. And I know there's wisdom in that. I don't understand much about it. Could you explain it to me? Because that's exactly what happened. There's one greater than Solomon, Jesus said. He said, shame on you. Shame on you. The Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon. But who are they going to go to now? How would you show them Jesus? Show them wisdom. All sought to see what was going on. They sought His wisdom. Now, a lot of people who seek it, they reject it. They reject Christ. They want the answer. They want money. They want to succeed and all of that. But then they reject it. But how sad that we cannot show forth the wisdom that God makes available to us. 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. In Him is all wisdom. In Him is all wisdom. He's one greater than Solomon. And of course, the power of God was evident. I mean, she wanted to see Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. This is more than just Solomon's a good guy. This is more than just, hey, Solomon, you know, he's a smart guy. This is more than just Solomon has a lot of degrees and Solomon, you know, he was raised right. And it's more than that. It's supernatural. It's a power that the world has no clue how to tap into it. But we do. We do. Solomon did. Solomon's relationship with God brought power. And it was the kind of power that people noticed. When you pray, does anything happen? Do you tell people, I'm praying about this? Do you tell people at work, I'll pray for you? And when the answer comes, do you say, you know, I believe God did that for you? Because I guarantee, you know, I'm not trying to get you to get your own healing ministry or anything like that. I'm not trying to get you to get your own ministry where you say, call in your prayer requests and we'll see it answered. I'm just saying, what a great testimony to have the power of God on your life. What a great testimony for Christ. My Bible says, you know, Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And that's God's power. The power of the resurrection. You talk about Jesus, you're tapping into the resurrection power. You talk about Jesus, you're talking about the power of making somebody a new creature. What a great testimony that is. I'm a new creature. You know, people say, well, I do this and I do that and my life's miserable. And you could easily say, yeah, I used to do that. Well, why don't you anymore? God changed me. God changed. How many times has somebody said to me, and I guarantee to folks out here, they've said, boy, you've really turned your life around. Not me. Not me. I didn't. My life wasn't turned around. I was made new. Amen. It's new. I mean, my life, that's power. And if the Queen of Sheba would say, hey, you know, I see this supernatural, miraculous power in Solomon's kingdom. Jesus said, there's one greater than Solomon. You know what? He dwells in me. Amen. How about you? How about, do people see that in your life? I'm not talking about you raising the dead and healing the sick. I'm just talking about God working in your life and God's power. The sad thing is, so many Christians today don't have a clue of the power of God. By the way, the power of God was so we could be witnesses. It's to be witnesses. This is what the Queen of Sheba heard. She heard about the wisdom. She heard about his wealth. She heard about the power. She heard about the supernatural work of God. Number two, what she did. Now here's how she handled what she heard. She heard of his fame. She heard about him. She heard what all had taken place and everything. And you know, it's amazing how people hear about Jesus. Let's look at some things. Matthew 22. Just real quick, Matthew 22. A lot of people hear about Jesus. Matthew 22 and verse 5. Maybe you're one that's here today and you've heard about Jesus. Matthew 22, 5. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. They made light of it. They heard about Jesus, but they made light of it. They in other words, they mocked. They made light of it. They thought it was funny. Oh, we've all been soul winning sometime, and somebody's mocked, somebody's made fun, somebody's laughed about it. You know, Felix in the book of Acts, he heard about it, and he was all shook up about it. But he said, you know, I'll decide something another time. I mean, a lot of people, they hear of Jesus, and they do nothing about it. But I just wonder if people even hear of Jesus with your life. I wonder if people, you know, it's not just I go to Berean Baptist Church. It's look what Jesus did to me. And it got her attention. I'm telling you, here's what she did. She heard about all these things. And the first thing the Bible says, she came to him. She came to him. And I love what it says in verse 1. It says she came to prove him with hard questions. Hey, it's not a matter of him having to say that, well, yes, I'm the son of the former king and he gave me all this stuff. No. Those aren't hard questions. That's an easy question. You know, here's the hard question. Solomon, why are you so wise? Solomon, how did you make so many good decisions? Solomon, how did you create, build and design the temple? Like, I mean, Solomon, come on. Give me some answers. I've got hard questions for you. I know we like to take the glory for a lot of things. Yeah, well, look what I did. I graduated from college. I have a degree in this and this and this and this. But what about the things God did. Truth of the matter is, the fact that you graduated from college, the fact that you graduated from high school, the fact that you graduated from anywhere is amazing. The fact that you can walk is, I mean, really, it's kind of amazing, isn't it? The fact you can see, hear, speak. I mean, is God any part of our lives or not? Is there something we can praise Him for? Is there something that we can give Him credit for? Because she came to Him to prove Him with, I got to find out how you're doing this, Solomon. I got to find out what's going on. I hear that you worship God and God's doing all that. I got to ask you some hard questions. You know what, folks? It's more than just coming to church. It's coming to Jesus with those hard questions. It's coming to Jesus on your knees and saying, I got some hard questions, Jesus. Because He's greater than Solomon. If the Queen of Sheba will come to Solomon with hard questions, don't you think you and I could take our hard questions to Jesus? I think so. She came to Him. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. You need to be like the prodigal who came to himself and then he went to his father. You need to come to Jesus and be saved today. I wish you would do that. Ask your hard questions to Jesus. Well, Jesus, if a man dies, shall he live again? Oh, yeah, he's going to live again, all right. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Amen? Yeah, hard questions. I mean, aren't those hard? What happens when you die? Jesus says, well, I'm preparing mansions for my people when they die. I've got a mansion prepared for my people. Jesus says, I've got heaven for my people. He said, I got a place where it's going to be wonderful for my people. Oh, yeah, come to Him with your hard questions. Come to Him with your hard questions. It's okay. She came to Him, but then secondly, she communed with Him. She communed with Him. In verse 2, the Bible says she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, very much gold, precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Isn't that something? You know, it's amazing. And there are folks in this room right here. You go to work and people know they can come to you. Why? Because they know you walk with God. Now, the Queen of Sheba could come to Solomon and get answers from Solomon because Solomon walked with God. She could get the answers to her hard questions. She could get all kinds of advice. She could get anything that she needed because, I got news for you, she found one who walked with God. But you know, the most important thing about somebody coming to you and you being able to counsel them and help them because God's helping you is you directing them right straight to His throne of grace. I mean, that's the best thing in all the world. Counseled several people this week and ultimately it always ends up, hey, did you go to Him? Have you spent time with Him? I mean, Solomon listened and answered. Jesus said, I'm greater than Solomon. So you know what? Jesus will also listen. And He always will answer. Amen. Look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 5. Psalm 32 and verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I mean, listen, folks. You go to Jesus and have an honest conversation with Him and something always happens. honest conversation. I acknowledged my sin unto thee. I will confess my transgressions. Not to people. Not to the preacher. Not to the teacher. Not to somebody else. I will confess to you, God. And by the way, confession is to say the same thing God says about it. God, here's what I did, and you said that's wrong, and I did it, and I'm sorry. Boy, things always happen. I can only imagine what the Queen of Sheba said to Solomon. But you know what? If she could talk to Solomon, there's one greater than Solomon. Oh, you say, boy, if I could just talk to Solomon. And Jesus says, how sad that is. That we would want to have audience with Solomon when we could have an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over anything and everything. But let's be honest. Solomon doesn't know what's in our heart, does he? Now, the Bible says that she told him everything. She talked to him. It says she communed with him of all that was in her heart. But you know how that goes. She probably didn't tell him everything. And that might be why you go to humans, because they don't know everything. Because when you get before him, he knows everything. All of our excuses, they're no good with him. We can tell somebody else, oh yeah, well, I did that because, oh, I understand. But he knows, because he knows our heart. One greater than Solomon. Boy, preacher, I'll tell you, Solomon was a wise man. I got some tough decisions. I sure wish I could. How sad. How sad. That's what Jesus said too. There's one greater than Solomon. Number one, what she heard. Number two, what she did. Number three, what she saw. What convinced her that this really was of God? What convinced the Queen of Sheba? Again, she's not impressed with all she heard just because it was a king and he was famous and he had wealth and all that. She was impressed with what she heard because he gave glory to God. Your neighbors will not be impressed because you drive a new car, or because you have things, or you have a good job, and they're not necessarily going to be impressed because a lot of people have those things. You know what's going to get their attention? It's you saying, look what God did. It's you living. This is God dealing with me. God working in my life. It's your testimony. It's my testimony. That's what causes them to watch. So the Queen of Sheba, now she's looking and she's checking out everything. She's talked to him. But now, here's what she saw. Here's what convinces her. First of all, she saw his wisdom. She saw his wisdom. It says in verse 3, Solomon told her all her questions. Everything. I don't know what all she asked. In my mind, I'm thinking she would have a vast knowledge of worldly things and things that many other people would not know. And I think she was trying him. Well, I hear he's wise. I'll find out. She's asking all these questions. It says he told her all her questions. Notice there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. I mean, she saw it. She saw it. I mean, Solomon was wise, but there's one greater than Solomon. Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. She said, I just got all these tough questions. Have you ever taken your tough questions to God? On your knees, with your Bible open, I've got some tough questions, God. He'll answer. I mean, she could see his wisdom in the kingdom. You know what, folks, honestly, you and I, we could see his wisdom in everything. We don't have to look very far to see God's wisdom. Did you know when the sun came up this morning, we didn't all burn up? Isn't that great?
It's very convenient for us. We didn't all freeze to death either. Isn't that something, when the sun went down? We didn't all freeze and our houses froze so cold that they crumbled into nothing. No, we all just live. Isn't it great to breathe oxygen? Isn't it amazing how God puts that in the air? Hello? And isn't it amazing how God makes sure that it gets to all parts of your body? Because even your little pinky needs oxygen. God makes sure it all, that little toe down there needs oxygen. Isn't that something? I mean, all we have to do, just look around. I mean, we see it in everything that goes on around us, in the universe. We see it in the earth and its rotation. We see it in the sun. We see it in our bodies. That's one of the most amazing things. You know, man is not going to invent a camera that's as good as your eye. And as remarkable as your eye. It's not possible. And we see it in all creation. Everything, all around us, we see the wisdom of God. We see His wisdom. Look at Ephesians 1. Keep your place in 1 Kings, Ephesians 1. Here's God's wisdom. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. How could we be holy and without blame before Him? How could we? How is that even possible? That sinners could be holy and without blame before Him in love. But God saw it before the foundation, before the world was ever created. God saw that. He chose us to be holy and without blame. Without blame. Come on, there's not a person in this room today that is without blame. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's amazing. We're without blame. We're accepted. How? It's not possible. Oh, but in the wisdom of God, it is possible. And in the wisdom of God, it took place. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Yeah. You talk about wisdom. There is wisdom in the plan of salvation. Yeah, but how's it going to happen? If you put it in the hands of man, they're sinners. If you put it in the hands of religious people, they're sinners. If you put it in the law, we all fail. How? And in the wisdom of God, God said, it's very simple. I'll go and I'll be the sacrifice for sin. Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I could have come up with that idea. I'm not sure I would have wanted to. See, she saw the wisdom of Solomon, but Solomon said, God gave me this wisdom, and he knew that. Jesus said, there's one greater than Solomon. There's one greater. There's one wiser than Solomon. Notice what else she saw. In verse 4, it says, when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, the temple, the church. There is no more amazing organization in all the world than the church. The New Testament church, the independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. There's nothing more amazing than this. Honestly, we don't force anybody to put money in that plate. And what goes in that plate is what pays the bills. Now I want you to think about that. And nobody's forced. We don't even say, you know, you're going to burn in hell if you don't give. We don't say that because it's not true. There's nobody twisting your arm. It's amazing. Week after week, folks write a check out, put it in the plate. Nobody's even watching you, except maybe your wife, as she watches. Nobody, ushers aren't standing there with guns, I don't think. No, they're not. Nobody makes us do any of that. It is the most amazing organization. And the independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church, it's which I believe is what the Bible calls for, a church to be, it's just people. There's no organization, headquarters, some other town somewhere. It's just us. And then everything just happens. It's absolutely amazing. She saw his house. She said, "Woo! This is amazing." Truth of the matter is, there's one greater than Solomon. You know, if people, and again, take away the gossip, take away the bickering, take away the carnality, and what a testimony. I hope your neighbors don't see all that stuff. I hope what they see is they see you're a part of an amazing, miraculous organization. There's none like it in all the world. That's what she said. There's nothing like this in all the world. Nothing like it anywhere. I've been everywhere. I've never seen anything. That's what any person who's lost should come in and see. Wow, this is amazing. That's what they should see. She also saw his table, verse 5, the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers, his ascent. You know, here's his table. Here's his table. You talk about provision. You know what I like? I like it says this, the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants. Isn't that good? Oh, Solomon had the heart of God and the servants get to eat too. Everybody's equal. Servants, leaders, ministers, all of them. Cupbearers, everybody. We all eat. Everybody eats and everybody's full. Amen. There's a greater than Solomon. Who? Jesus. And he always provides. For my God shall supply all your need. All your need. Everything. He'll supply it all. Amen. And again, if people just see Jesus in you, all of a sudden they notice, hey, there's something different. We're in a bad economy, but wow, look at God taking care of that. And look at God taking care of them. And I know they're going through a hard time, but look how God's taking care of them. What a testimony that is. I mean, to be honest with you, Solomon's table got the attention of the Queen of Sheba. How's your table? I remember going soul winning after God delivered a sack of groceries on our doorstep, and I told everybody about it. Why? It's a miraculous thing. It's unbelievable the way God provides. People aren't used to that. Do you understand? People are used to going to the government for help. People are used to going to other people for help. But just to get on your knees and say, God, we have a need here. Notice what else she saw. And I like this. In the last part of verse 5, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord. You know what she saw? She saw him going to church. Excited, climbing up the steps into the temple. That's what she saw. You know, honestly, if your neighbors were judging by how you look on Sunday morning, I wonder if they'd even be interested. If they were judging by what you say about your church, I wonder if they'd ever be interested. I'm talking about lost people. I'm talking about people who would listen if they could just believe that God was really in it. And I guarantee that was one of the things she was looking for. I know Solomon says God did it all, but I'm going to just see how he goes to church. You know, his ascent up those steps, I think he had some bounce in his step. Amen. He was excited, and I guarantee he wasn't late. You tell everybody when you're late, it's not important. Amen. That's free. I threw it in as a, not even a commercial. I mean, he ascended. He ascended. Reminds me of the one greater than Solomon and him ascending one time. Amen. Jesus. He ascended and the disciples just stared. And the angel said, "Why stand ye gazing?" This same Jesus. He's coming back. You see, I've often wondered why they said, "Why stand ye gazing?" Because there's something to do. I'll be honest with you, a lot of Christians today, that's all they're doing is gazing. This sign, this computer chip, but they're doing absolutely nothing. They are doing exactly what the angels said not to do. Get busy! Do something! Why? Because folks are watching you, and they're watching how you serve your God. But I really like this. Here's what the world sees, and they see this all the time. Notice verse 5. It talks about his servants, talks about the attendance of his ministers, their apparel, his cupbearers, all those things. Go on to verse 8. It says, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom." She sees them. She's watching the people. I want you to answer my question, Solomon. Yeah, but I also want to watch your people. First thing about his servants, they're sitting. Verse 5 says, "The meat of his table and the sitting of his servants." They're sitting. There's a rest in Jesus the world hadn't got a clue about. There's a peace that passes all understanding. You say, "I don't understand it." That's that peace. Amen. If you don't understand it, praise God, you've got it. You know, I've gone through this, I've gone through that, but I'll be honest with you, I've got a peace about this. That came from Jesus. That doesn't come from man. You can't manufacture that. You can't even take pills to give you that. I'm not talking about he put me to sleep. I'm talking about I'm awake, I'm alive, I'm alert, I'm excited, and I have peace. Even though it's nasty all around. His servants were sitting, and that's their position, but then there's their privilege. In verse 8, it says, they stand continually before thee. Continually. You know, how consistent is your testimony? Do people see you continually, or do they just see you on Sunday being religious? Do they see you continually, like at work? I love it. And the not only saw their position, their privilege, but she saw their pleasure. The Bible says happy. Happy, 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 happy. That's the servants. That's the people that work there. Happy. They're all happy. Everybody's happy. She's watching. You know, she's looking for that one person that says, "I don't like this." You know, that's what she's looking at. The devil is always finding somebody so he can point them out so people could say, "It isn't real. It's not real." You know, about time you say, "I'm a Christian, I'm saved," now folks are watching you. Amen. Are you happy? I'll be honest with you. I watch Christians, and a lot of Christians are just not happy. And yet these servants that worked for Solomon, there's one greater than Solomon. And if they were happy with Solomon, are you telling me you can't be happy with Jesus? I just don't necessarily like all that's going on in this old world. I'll tell you what, Jesus overcame the world. Happy. They're happy. Last thing, what she said. And this is the result of everything. I mean, first of all, she heard what she heard. Number two, what she did. She went to see Solomon. Number three, what she saw. She saw everything that was going on. And now number four, what she said. The first thing about it in verse 5, it says right at the end there, notice these words at the very end of verse 5, there was no more spirit in her. She's humbled. She questioned his fame. She saw why. She questioned his wisdom. She saw why he was wise. She questioned his wealth. She saw why he was wealthy. She questioned his walk with God. She saw it firsthand, and it humbled her. I'll be honest with you. There's one greater than Solomon who will really humble you if you get down on your knees before him. When Isaiah did, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." Paul was humbled when he saw the Lord in Acts chapter 9. My Bible says, "Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess." That's when you stand before the Lord. Humbled. Humbled. Do you understand humility when you have the power of God? You're soul winning, and you don't have the best illustrations. You don't have all the stories to tell. But I'll be honest with you, if you have God's power and His Holy Spirit, you'd be amazed how many times people will melt. Not because of you, because of Him. She was humbled. Verse 6, and she said to the king, "It was a true report. It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom." It's a true thing. You know, when people come to Jesus, they know it's true. It's true. Let me tell you, you give a testimony. Look what God's doing in my life. Look what God did. Look what God has been doing all these years. And God is so good. You know, when they come to Christ, they'll look at you and say, "It's true. It really is true." I don't know how many people told me before I got saved. They witnessed to me and they said, "Here's what God did to me." And I kind of just smirked a little bit. You smirked, right? Remember? And I remember, you know, I remember them saying, "Oh, you know, God has changed my life." I said, "Well, I got a lot of things in my life that are no good." "God knows about that. God will take care of that." And I said, "Well, you know, I just don't see how." They said, "God did it to me." And I remember when I came at the age of 17, it's a true report. It's a true report. It's real. It really is. In verse 9, she praised the Lord. "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." And she praised the Lord. She recognized God put you there, Solomon, to glorify Him. You know what? I recognize that God put you here to glorify Him. No, I'm here to make lots of money. No, you're here to glorify God. You're saved. You're born again. You've trusted Christ. You and I, hey, we're here to be a light in a dark world and to give God glory with our lives. Amen. Amen. And then the last thing, verse 10, the Bible says, she gave the king 120 talents of gold, of spices, very great store, precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. She gave. She gave. David foretold Solomon about this very thing. And he said this about Solomon to Solomon. He said, "And to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba." Psalm 72, verse 15. David foretold that to his son. And Solomon was just looking forward to what God was going to do. He was looking forward to how these things would happen. You know, we give tithes. We give offerings. But ultimately, that's just a small thing. Because He wants our heart. "My son, give me thine heart." He wants our life. Now, the world never understands that, but I guarantee you this, they're watching. They really are watching. They are watching what's going to happen. They're watching you. They see you come to church on Sunday. They see, you know, they'll see you come back tonight, many of you. They see you during the week on Wednesday night. They're watching. They're looking out there. I just wonder what it means to them. I guarantee one thing. The Queen of Sheba, she heard about Solomon. And she heard that Solomon gave glory to God. And she heard that God had done it all. She said, "I want to see for myself." And I guarantee, I believe this with all my heart, they're going to want to see for themselves. It's no coincidence, I believe, that my family got saved after I got saved. And it was several years after I got saved that they got saved. But they watched. They watched every move. My dad watched me go through college. He watched me and heard me say the words, "God will take care of it." He heard me say, you know, he would say, "Son, how are you gonna make it?" at college. You're leaving your best, the good job. Just go to college here in town and keep that good job. No, Dad, this is what God wants me to do. And I've got to just trust God. And Dad didn't understand that. And he might have said, well, blankety blank, I think you're nuts. You know, it wouldn't shock me if he did say that. But the whole time he watched. Son, how you doing? Dad, I'll tell you, things are great. Now, sometimes I lied. At least outwardly, things didn't look so good. And I never told Dad if things outwardly didn't look so good. But you know, when I graduated, my bill was paid. I had my degree. I did what God called me to do. And Dad came down to the graduation and heard the gospel. I'm just saying, you know, they watch to see. Is there really a God? You say, well, they ought to read their Bible. They aren't going to read their Bible. They're going to read you. What are they reading? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. One greater than Solomon. Boy, I'd give anything to be able to talk to Solomon. There's one greater. I'd give anything to have his wisdom. There's one greater who will give you wisdom. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, preacher, I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. If I were to die right now, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Anyone like that? You say, pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone at all, pray for me. Pray for me. I wonder if there's a Christian here today. You say, preacher, I want to be a good testimony. I want people at work and my family and my neighbors. I want them to see Jesus in my life. I want to get their attention, but not toward me, toward Jesus. And there's some things in my life God's spoken to me about today. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over? Just slip it up. God's speaking to my heart as a Christian. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Father, bless the invitation. Please have your will. Have your way with us. And God, help us. Help our church to be a lighthouse. Help us to show that Jesus did it in everything we do. I pray in Jesus' name.